Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm Peyton Jones. I'll be your host today as we jump into Deuteronomy chapter 7. In the last chapter, Moses tells Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one." This is a statement of monotheism, mono meaning one, theism meaning the worship of God. This bold concept that there was only one God in a sea of polytheists or nations that worship multiple gods made them unique among all the surrounding nations. Therefore, Deuteronomy 7 is all about maintaining their uniqueness when they cross into this new foreign land and are surrounded by dirty pagans. How do you pagan-proof an entire nation? Well, you don't allow them to marry people from those other religions. So, chapter 7, God tells them they're going to completely drive out the other peoples and not leave any of them living in the land. He tells them not to intermarry with them or they'll be tempted. In verse 3, he says, "Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take daughters for your sons, for they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods. And the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you." Paraphrase, God saying, don't mess about with them. Don't make treaties. Hey, these people can help us out. They know things and can give us wives. Don't start singing, "I wish they all could be Amorite girls. I wish they all," to the sound of California Girls. But I joke. Just a quick aside. There's a little history on this front with a little pagan prophet named Balaam. Balaam knew he couldn't take the Israelites in a full frontal assault because God was with them in battle. But he also knew that if he could infiltrate and turn the people to idolatry, God would do the work for them. And that's what Balaam did. And as a result, he brought in a bunch of women who infiltrated the camp, got naked, and then turned the people's hearts to idolatry. As a result, on that day, 24,000 Hebrews died. That was better than going to war with them. So verse 6 tells us what Balaam figured out about God. What made his relationship with the Israelites tick? Listen to these touching verses, starting with verse 6. "You are a people holy to the Lord. You have been chosen out of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But those who hate him, he'll repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him." Notice God tells them why he's with them. Not because they were the best or the most numerous. They weren't. They were small and pathetic. They were slaves living in a ghetto, worshiping other gods in Egypt and doing detestable things. How do we know that? Because most of the commands tell them not to do gross stuff. We kind of take it they were doing that. But God loved them anyways. So here comes the exhortation in verse 12. "If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you as he swore to your ancestors. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine, olive oil, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks, and the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. You'll be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor will any of your livestock be without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. You must destroy all the peoples the Lord your God gives over to you. Do not look on them with pity and do not serve their gods, for that will be a snare to you." God's promises, they will be blessed without equal. Now that's a bargain. They'd be fruitful, prosperous, free from disease. Rather than inflicting diseases on you, he'll inflict them on others. Then in verse 17, he hears the objection in their heads and he soothes their fears. He reminds them no one can stand against them. Remember Pharaoh, I kicked his butt. God will even make the nature to fight for you, Moses says, like he did with Pharaoh. Snow, fire, sun, moon, frogs, and flies. These are all weapons in God's arsenal. Moses says he'll even turn the hornets buzzing through the air onto their enemies. Now that's something I would have liked to have seen. God beat Marvel to the punch, after all, with the whole Ant-Man wasp crime-fighting strategy. Heck, God meets most blockbusters to the punch. If you haven't noticed, Shrek wasn't the first to come up with a talking donkey, you know. That character we were talking about, Balaam, earlier, he found that out when his donkey started talking to him. God's funnier than Shrek anyways. Lastly, in verse 25, he says, "Don't covet their gold or silver." So why is he causing them not to take the gold and the silver? Well, that's what their idols were made up of. If they scoop up the idols or treasures, it'd be a while until they could melt them down because they were a people on the move. So it would be a while till they could make them something useful. But until then, they're going to be a snare or a temptation. So in the beginning part of this chapter, he's told them not to chase the hiney, and now he's telling them not to chase the shiny. You know, God always makes us surrender something that appears to have true riches or true blessings, but it's often just fool's gold. So he's going to make them see that although they have to give something up, that's true trust, and that in itself is a treasure. He says treat that gold or silver like it's radioactive, like it's got poison in it. It's going to kill you. You can't take radioactive waste to yourself, no matter how pretty it might seem. It's like Gollum's ring, the One Ring, the Ring of Power. It's shiny, it looks valuable, and Frodo wants it, but he knows it'll destroy him. It takes far more from Frodo than it gives to him. Sure, he turns invisible, but he becomes an evil little Gollum critter. It's the same with idols for us. It seems valuable, it seems like it's enjoyable, but after a while becomes a snare, and pretty soon it begins to corrupt us from within. Any God who loves us is going to counsel us against anything that hurts us, and anything that drags us away from Him is harmful. Read Deuteronomy chapter 7 today, and as you do, remember this incredible God who's made a covenant of love with you because He knows you well.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the words.